one person who listened to this, and welcome back to our annual WAPO podcast. I'm still Susie.
And I'm still Nadia, but this time we have some special news. Drum roll, please.
We have a new host.
Yay!
Say hi, Kyle.
Hi, Kyle.
Okay, stop messing around and let's start this thing.
So today we're going to be talking about Key Concept 5.1.
Key Concept 5.1, my favorite topic in the whole wide world.
Okay, to start off, let's talk about how industrialization fundamentally changed how goods were produced. First, geographically, Europe's location on the Atlantic with its numerous harbors and ports gave it access to natural resources and markets outside its borders. Industrial production occurred at such a dramatic rate, machines required massive amounts of raw materials and produced huge quantities of products that access to foreign resources and markets was a necessity for industrial growth.
Secondly, Britain had large and accessible supplies of coal and iron, two of the most important raw materials used to produce the goods for the early Industrial Revolution. Also available was water power to fuel the new machines, harbor for its merchant ships, and rivers for inland transportation. Industrial growth also depended on an abundant supply of navigable rivers and canals, especially in the early stages before a railroad came.
Lastly, factories require large investments of money, so a thriving bourgeois class with a wealth to invest was a basis for industrialization. The hereditary wealth of the aristocracy was less relevant. In fact, societies without a solid noble class had to rely on foreign investments too. Because factories concentrate labor into small areas, urbanization was a requirement for industrialization.
Now on to the next topic. New patterns of global trade and production development and further integrated in the global economy and industrialists sought raw materials and new markets for the increasing amount of array of goods produced in their factories.
As we have seen, the rapid production of goods during the Industrial Revolution created the need for large amounts of raw materials. This need created economic links between advanced industrial nations and less developed nations of the world. Many countries in Latin America, Sub-Saharan Africa, South Asia, and Southeast Asia became highly dependent on a single cash crop for export, such as sugar, cotton, and rubber. Producing large quantities of goods on machines makes no profit unless there are market people to buy those things.
Moreover, industrial production occurs so fast that it quickly saturates local and national markets. Thus, industrial societies thrive on being able to sell their goods to people outside of their borders and usually depend on their government to secure these overseas markets.
Industrialization also created a renewed interest in mining activities. As mentioned earlier, one of the advances of the Second Industrial Revolution was a harnessing of electricity. The revolutionary change brought a surge in demand for a metal that had been known to mankind for thousands of years.
Continue on a different topic, the most important idea behind industrialization is capitalism, the belief that capital wealth and the means of production, the tools that increase the values of raw materials, should be owned privately.
It is to be contrasted with socialism, which holds that the means of production should be owned communally and the wealth produced therein should be shared.
These ideas of liberty, private ownership, and the ability to invest capital freely, combined to form a new financial instruments that improved methods of industrial investment.
There were also major developments in transportation and communication.
Once the textile industry began its exponential growth, transportation of raw materials to factories and manufacturers' goods to customers had to be worked out. New inventions in transportation spurred the Industrial Revolution further. A key invention was the steam engine that was perfected by James Watt in the late 1790s. Although the steam power had been used before, Watt invented many ways to make it practical and efficient to use for both water and land transportation. Perhaps the most revolutionary of the steam energy was the railroad engine, which drove English industry after 1820.
Railroads revolutionized life in Britain in several ways. One, railroads gave manufacturers a cheap way to transport materials and finished products. Two, the railroad boom created hundreds and thousands of new jobs for both railroad workers and miners. Three, the railroad industry spawned new industries and inventions and increased the productivity of others. For example, agriculture products could be transported farther without spoiling, so farmers benefited from the railroads. And four, railroads transported people, allowing them to work in cities far away from their homes and travel to resort areas for leisure.
As revolutionary as the railroads were, they did not replace transportation by water. Steam engines replaced sails as the source of power on large ships. To increase the accessibility of steam-powered ships, nations remarked on several projects of canal construction.
The development and spread of global capitalism led to a variety of responses. The Industrial Revolution new landmark created a huge gap between the wealthy and the laboring masses, a contrast that did not go unnoticed by the critics of the new industrial society. One group of critics, the utopian socialists, interpreted Enlightenment ideas of equality to mean social and economic equality in addition to political equality. They wanted the workers, rather than private investigators, to collectively own the means of production and share in the wealth that their labor on machines created.
More radical than the utopian socialists who were the communists, Karl Marx, the founder of the modern communism, wondered how a system that produced enormous amounts of wealth could also perpetuate such widespread poverty. Marx first wrote about his interpretation of history and vision for the future in the Communist Manifesto in 1848. He saw capitalism, or the free market, as an economic system that exploited workers and increased the gap between the rich and the poor.
Coming on to our last topic of this podcast, the ways in which people organize themselves into societies also underwent significantly transformation in the industrialized states due to fundamental restructuring of the global economy. A major social change brought about by the Industrial Revolution was the development of relatively large middle class, or bourgeois, in industrialized countries. This class had been growing in Europe since medieval days, when wealth was based on land, and most people were peasants. With the advent of industrialization, wealth was increasingly based on money and success in business enterprises. Although the states of inherited titles of nobility based on land ownership remained in place.
Changes in gender roles generally fell along class lines, with relationships between men and women of the middle class being very different from those in the lower classes. Factory workers often resisted the work discipline and pressure imposed by their middle class bosses. They worked long hours and unfulfilling jobs, and their leisure time often engaged in things thought unrespectable by the middle class, such as going to bars and pubs and staging dog or chicken fights. Meanwhile, most of their wives were working. most commonly as domestic servants for middle-class households, jobs that they usually preferred to factory work. Young women in rural areas often came to cities or suburban areas to work as house servants. They often sent some of their wages home to support their families in the country and some saved dowry money. Others saved to support ambitions to become clerks or secretaries, jobs increasingly filled by women but supervised by men.
This era saw a basic change in the population structures of industrialized countries. Large families had always been welcome in agricultural societies because the more people and family had, the more land they were able to work. Children's work was generally more worth more than it cost to take care of them. However, in the West, including the United States, the birth rate declined to historically low levels in the 19th century.
Our podcast is now nearing the end, but first I'd like to thank Kyle and Susie for reading all these long paragraphs of information I wrote about for them. Sorry.
Also, a round of applause for Kyle, first podcast with us, hopefully many more to come.
Woo!
Thank you, everybody, Miss V, for tuning in. This has been great.
And in case we don't catch you again, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.